Girivaradadi. Gopi jana valla va giri varadadi. Yasura nandana rajajana ranjana. Yasura nandana rajajana ranjana. Yamuna tira panachari. Yamuna tira panachari. Nidhyadatha madhava punya vihadi. Nidhyadatha madhava kunya vihadi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivesesha Sunyavari Paskatyane Sadarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, my dear devotees and my dear friends and all of you, this morning I would like to address you a little bit on how to find one's place in life. It is obviously a very big subject matter, and to deal justly with this, I wish to invite you to one of my forthcoming seminars on the Dharma module. We did already one short peek into it in the Buckland Hall retreat, but since then I have worked much more on it, and there's a lot of more. I think, like all people in either the material field or the spiritual field, we intuitively feel if we are on our place in life, then we will be deeply nourished. It's and have a lot of energy. It's like this bulb here. When the bulb is dislocated from its place, it's just some glass and some iron. But the moment it's in its place, bloop, it's full of light. So we as human beings are in many ways like that bulb. Only when we come to our real place in life, where we belong, then we will be fulfilled. Whatever we do without having found this place in life is just so much a waste of time and so much, let me say, frustrating really for us. Although with some meaningless entertainment we can cover up the frustration for some time, but not all the time. That's what people in the material field who have not found their place in life is do. They work, and all the time they think, oh, when will I go to holidays? Oh, when will the evening come and I can do something to distract myself, maybe go into the movies or meet my friends in a discotheque or just something to relieve that frustrating feeling in the heart, or just eat something nice and spend the evening a little bit relaxed. The problem of this society is that it never asked the question why. It always asked the question what. What should I do? What new project? What new program? What Apple computer has to offer me? And the little monster. What little monster? I'm referring to the mobile telephones, the big time stealers of today's world, you know, where you can spend the whole life just going through your different apps and becoming apped up or apped drugged and so on. What? Why don't we ask the question, why? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my existence? Why have I come to this world? What is the one thing? The why question is asking the question, why? What is the sense and the meaning behind all of this? Now, in the ancient tradition of in which this Krishna conscious movement stands, this is the main question, the why question. Why do anything? What is the purpose of it all? And once somebody finds out the purpose of his existence, at that time, he's fully satisfied. I would like to give you a little example from my life. I have written about it in a forthcoming book. The title is The Way of the Great Departure. And there I opened the book by describing something about my life, that I always had a new what to do. Okay, make this journey, go here, meet these type of people, and so on. And I was always going after the what should I do. But whenever I had reached one of my many goals, I still felt that burning emptiness inside, and I was asking the question, what is next? In this way, I became really a junkie, a what junkie, you know, what to do. My spiritual master, in one of the lectures which I heard at that time when I was not yet in committed to the path of Krishna consciousness, he said something which which was so blunt that I almost shrinked. But then I thought he got the point. He has me on his radar. He spoke of how you motivate a foolish donkey. You put a stick on his neck, you tie it on the neck, and then you dangle a carrot before his eyes. And he will go for that carrot and go kilometers and kilometers and kilometers, carrying the most heaviest burden. And he doesn't even know that he's tricked into this, because he goes to this promise, I will get fulfillment in this carrot. This is what Maya does, the illusory energy. It places always a carrot before us. It's the what carrot, you know, what should I do? As long as we are on that track, as long as we are in this contraption, you know, where we bring where we push the carrot forward and thus are going for an unobtainable goal, that is satisfaction with material goods, we remain cheated for our life. All we do is we shift one burden from the from one shoulder to the next shoulder, but we don't get out of this basic mistake, the what mistake. What should I do in this material life which doesn't satisfy me? I want to give you a little analogy, and I almost want to present this for the pleasure of Gaur Gopal and Ghanesyam Priya, who are reaching out with their preaching to millions of people. There was once a scientist who wanted to shed some light in this problem, that we always stay in the same category of and never ask the question, why should I do anything? What is the purpose of existence? He had made a big frying pan like a wok. Can you understand wok in English? It's these big things where you bake prakoras. In the temple you have them. Do we say wok? Wok, unless it's from China. No? Wok. So he had taken a wok and made a frog paradise inside. He had a little island with sand and around it water and reeds. And on the island he had placed a relaxing chair and some nice holiday umbrella. And so he placed a frog inside, who was extremely impressed by the frog paradise. Then, unknown to the frog, he placed the wok on a good gas burner and it became hot. So the
beginning, the frog thought, oh, very good. It's very nice and very tropical in here. And he got out his sunglasses and and was in the relaxing chair. And he thought, well, I have the umbrella above me. And was really enjoying his life very nicely. He was enjoying. But then it got a bit hot. So he jumped into the water, which was also hot. Then he felt, oh, the water is also a little hot. Maybe I go in the refreshing shade. And he went up. He went on the island. He lay down in the relaxing chair. And he felt very happy for some moment, thinking I'm in the shade. But it got so intolerably hot that he said, let me take a refreshing swim. And whoop, he hopped into the water and swam a little. But that water had almost come to the boiling point by now. So he thought, ah, so cold, it's scalding hot. And he again went to the chair to find relief in the chair. But finally, it's a sad story. He died. He burned himself to death. He never got the idea. Maybe I jump out of this frog paradise into the refreshing, cool nature and so on. He did not. It didn't pass him. So many people in this world, they always want to change the what. You know, what do I do? Maybe I go to the I become a bank man. Or no, not a bank man. Let me go on holidays. And no holidays. Let me go to some nice meeting place with the young people, exchange some good ideas. Or there's something else to do. Oh yeah, internet chat. The new internet invention chat. And so on. But they always change the circumstances in the what dimension, but never ask themselves the question, why am I here? What's the purpose of it all? What is my real life? So that sounds very much like a what question. Why am I here? My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, please let us look at life. Life is very much like a tree. It has four dimensions, and we need to live in these four dimensions. There is a social dimension, you know, our friends, our family. There is an emotional dimension, what we feel in all this, with all our relationships, how we are, then there is a physical dimension, our health, our wakefulness, yes, being alert, being fit for life, and then there is a spiritual dimension. Look at a normal tree. A tree has roots which are connected with a trunk. The trunk is protected by a bark, and it has a crown, the crown of the tree, where there are fruits, leaves, many branches. So the human being resembles a tree in that it has these four dimensions. The roots of our existence are identical with our spiritual well-being. If a person has deep roots, you can place him in any circumstances, in whatever what you can imagine, he will be spiritually nourished. You can then the next dimension of our human existence, our physical existence. No one can see our roots. No one can see how we are spiritually awakened except for Krishna. The roots are under earth. They are not for everyone to see, but they nourish us. We have our physical well-being. Some of you are physically not so well at the moment because you are sleep deprived, but that will go in 2 days, don't worry. So then our emotions, which protect us, emotions, healthy emotions, are contentment, an inner sense of security, a confidence, happiness, loving emotions, and so on. This is the bark which protects us from the mosquitoes and everything else. And then comes our social dimension, how we interact with people. If you want well-being, you have to take care of all of these. But now comes an important point. As long as your own roots are well, the tree will somehow become well, even if there should be a damage on the leaves or on the bark, and your emotions, you can be emotionally disturbed. As long as you have strong roots, your tree of life will be able to repair itself. Whatever is not good, in other words, on the physical, emotional, and social platform, can become good if your roots, your spiritual roots, are well nourished. This is what modern society does not know. They are trying to become happy on the or fulfilled on the physical platform, emotional platform. There's a lot of self-help literature out, and some of it is really good. There is a lot about social well-being, relationships, but there's too little about the spiritual dimension. And I want to request you to become people who go to the essence of life, to the why of life, to the very purpose of life, which is to take care of your spiritual dimension. Because from this, everything else will be able to be repaired, whatever needs to be repaired in life. That is a very and that is the reason why we exist. I was once visiting a very successful family of businessmen, and one of their boys, it was in South Germany, had become highly interested in Krishna consciousness, but the father and the mother really wanted their child, their boy, to be successful in material life and have a little spiritual life on the side. So I said to the father, we were all sitting together, the family. I often do this. I have done this many times in life. I got everyone from the family together and said, let us now look at the future of Hans. Hans is a German name. Hans, Paramahans. Let's see if your Hans can become a Paramahans. And I said, his future in material life is he becomes a successful businessman, but I have something better to offer. I think the tradition from which I come has to offer an answer to the question, why do we exist? We exist to become fulfilled people, and that all starts with the roots of our existence, our spiritual dimension. And I said, consider like this, Hans can work now for the greatest employer by whose work the whole cosmos works, who gives the ant something to eat and the camel in the Sahara Desert and everyone. He can become employed by Krishna. Then I said, there are four reasons why it is better to be employed by Krishna than by any businessman. These four reasons come, by the way, from Arjuna. I tell you, I didn't tell the business family, who said, there is no sense to go anywhere else for service than to Krishna, because he's the well-wisher of all living entities. He's the father and of all of us. He has brought us into existence. Then the second reason is Krishna is so grateful for anything we do. If you join the working force, your boss will never be satisfied with you. He always wants more out of you. And he will say, look at Usha ji or Umesh ji. They are excelling. Why don't you excel like them? Compete with them. Go in your fighting dress. Go out and fight and compete with Uma and Umesh. Hare Krishna, some Indian names I know. Be better than them. It's almost like cage fight. You know cage fight? Two people come into a cage and fight until another person faints. This is until one person faints. That's work in the material world. So much, the standard is always increased, the standard of expectations, because they want more and more and need to get more and more, because they are in the what dimension, running after the carrot of material enjoyment by increasing the programs, the projects, and so on, and running fiercer and fiercer and fiercer. So Krishna is grateful for whatever little service someone renders to him. He will never forget your prayer as you stood before Radha Madan Mohan and say, my Lord, please, my life is unmanageable. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Krishna never forgets prayer. And do you know a secret? Krishna is only a prayer away. That's how close he is always to you. He is grateful for whatever little slujba means service, is rendered to him. So grateful, so attentive. There are many stories in the Vedic scriptures. I know one is amazing. There was a wild dog. He chased a pigeon, and finally he got the pigeon in his jaw, but he had chased the pigeon three times around the temple. The pigeon was somehow hurt. It was, hinking, or going on one leg, and the dog chased the pigeon three times around the temple. So in the next life, the pigeon became a great devotee, and the dog also a great devotee, because Krishna thought, they have done three times parikram around me. They have circumambulated me. So grateful Krishna is. He takes any little thing, and so on. The third reason why Krishna is the best, I don't want to say boss of our life, the best, how do we say this? Lord of our life, master of our life, is because he is supremely powerful. He can erase your karma, and he can make arrangements that somehow or other you are taken care of by Krishna. I said this to my father when he disinherited me. Do you know I'm a man without millions of dollars?
because I was disinherited. I said, Fathaji, no problem, no problem. Krishna has given a promise that he maintains those who surrender to him. I understand that you did not want to work so that I distribute all your money which you leave to me to the human beings. I have no problem with this. Krishna is supremely powerful. He has given you, your Lakshmi, your money. He will take care of my needs. I will always have a chapati. And if I don't have a chapati, I will come to London and visit your homes. I know, somehow I will be taken care of by Krishna. And the last quality, my dear devotees, which endears Krishna as the master and lord of our life, is he is extremely milasti. Milasti means merciful. He is so merciful that he always takes care of our needs. He is so kind. You can go to the altar and pray to Krishna, and Krishna will hear you. I always joke, in London I once sat before Radha Gokulananda, and I saw one Mataji coming. I was chanting, praying very intently to Krishna, and I always heard the word husband, husband, husband. You know, the rest I couldn't understand. Then I saw a saffron clad Vaishnav, and he prayed, and I didn't hear many things. Also, I wanted to chant my rounds, and but I overheard, "Stay Brahmachari, stay Brahmachari, stay Brahma." So I know Krishna is merciful. He will give the Mataji what she prayed for, and he will give the Brahmachari what he prays for. This is the Lord of our life. My dear devotees, four convincing reasons. Krishna is your well-wisher. He is very grateful to whatever you do. He is supremely powerful. He can take care of you. And he is merciful like anything. So, I will end now my presentation. I will give you a summary. I want to convince you to become a servant of Krishna only. There is a story I would like to share with you, a story which has moved me very much and has given me part of my dharma. It's the story of a great devotee called Kanchipurnam. He lived in a town at the time of Ramanujacharya, that's 1200. And he was born in a Shudra community. The town was called Kanchipura. And Kanchipurnam, it was known, was a great devotee of the Lord. Great love he had in his heart for the Lord. And he was not allowed to do any Brahminical seva, like pujas and so on, or yagyas. But he was allowed to stay a little outside of the altar and use the fan. You know, in South India they have these fans where you pull the rope and then somehow a big fan moves back and forth. Have you seen these? No. So there's the rope before the altar and you go like this and then a nice fan moves up like this. So it was known that Kanchipurnam was able to talk to the Lord. The Lord's name was Vararaj. Please say the name. Vararaj. Yeah, the king of giving blessings. Vararaj. And he would talk to them. Oh, Vararaj, how did you sleep today?
there was a mouse on the altar, said Varadaraj. Can you tell the Brahmin priest to please get the mouse out? Okay, I will tell, said Kanchipuram. And how was your meal? Yeah, very good, but now it's winter time. It should be more spiced. Okay, said Kanchipuram, I will tell the kitchen. In this way, it was known, Kanchipuram talked to the Lord and knew the Lord's desire, and everyone, including the Brahmins, followed him. So once, and this is now important, a poor man came and saw Kanchipuram outside of his seva time and said, Kanchipuram, I have a great, great question in my mind. Could you please ask the Lord for an answer? I will try. Sometimes he is silent, but I will try. What is your question? The man was very old and he started to tremble. I will die in 4 or 5 days. I have the feeling. But can you ask the Lord if I will return back to him? Or if not, where I will go? I will ask the Lord, said Kanchipuram. So in the next morning, when his seva came, his fanning seva, he said, Bharadaraj, said Bharadaraj, what is it? There is one old devotee. He is about to die soon. He said in 4 or 5 days. It will be 6 days, said Bharadaraj. Yes, he has a question to you. What is the question? Will he return back to you after this life? Bharadaraj said, Yes. He's a good devotee. He will return. Tell him he will just die. Then for just a moment he will see something, the karmic reactions which I take away from him. He will just see it in just a vision, and then chuk, he will come to me. Thank you, said Kanchipuram. He will be very happy. So after the seva was finished, he immediately went to that hut where the old man was on his bed, trembling. Good news, said Kanchipuram. What, said the old man? You will go back to Godhead after this life. The Lord said, he will take away your karma. You will just see something, but don't get worried. He will take you back. Bharadaraj, said the old man and cried tears of happiness. Kanchipuram thought about this. I think you know what he thought about. Can you imagine what he thought about? What would you think about in this situation? Imagine you see the Lord. He had just answered the question of the devotee, if the devotee would go back to him. What would be your question? Yes. What about me? That's a normal question you would ask. You are a little... I think you all had this question. So Kanchipuram went the next day on the altar. He said the man was very happy about the news. And then Kanchipuram wanted to ask the question, but he thought it's too blunt. It's too demanding, maybe. So he didn't ask the question. For 2 weeks, he didn't dare to ask the question of Chaitanya Murari. Krishna Chaitanya. He didn't dare. And
finally, Vararaj broke the silence. He said, "You're so mental. What is wrong with you? Why are you not your normal self?" And then Kanchipuram said, "My lord, will I return back to you?" Vararaj's face became very serious and he said, "No. Not yet." Kanchipurnam's body became one question mark. I don't know in South India what is a question mark.
Why?
Yes, can you? He said, "Please tell me, my lord, what do I need to do?" Lord was very serious. He said, "Service to the Vaishnavas. You are in a very unfortunate situation because you are seen as the greatest of my devotees. And whenever you come and you want to do something for a devotee, then the devotee says, 'No, no, no, I can't accept service. I must give you service.' And in this way, you are cursed. You cannot serve the Vaishnavas. And I have given a law. Only the servant of a Vaishnava and the servants of Vaishnavas will be accepted by me. Because my world is a world of seva." Kanchipurnam did his seva. He didn't have any further question. He just did his service. He looked down. The next morning, when the seva term came, Kanchipurnam was not there. The day after the next morning, he also was not there. So the priests and everyone became worried. He was always so punctual and so reliable. Maybe there was an accident and he had died while taking his bath in the river. Maybe a crocodile. There was a great speculation. The whole town, Kanchipura, looked for Kanchipurnam, but he was nowhere to be found. Not even in the cave before the town. He was reported to be missing. After 1 month, in some other place, far away from Kanchipura, where there lived a great Vaishnava was living there. His name was Mahapurna. And he was getting old. He had cows to take care, but it was such a work for him to go out with the cows, to stay with them, to guard them, to herd them back, that he was thinking, "How will I do this?" So one evening, it was already dark, he heard a knocking at the door. He opened the door and he heard the familiar greeting, "Jai Govinda." And he said, "Yeah, who are you?" I'm a servant of the Lord, said the voice. I want to herd your cows. I'm a very good cow herder." "Wow," said Mahapurnam. "I just need someone who takes care of the cow. The Lord must have sent you." The voice said very silently, "I don't know if the Lord sent me, but I will take care of your cows, and all I want is from time to time a chapati, and I will drink a little cow milk, and so on." "This is ideal," said Mahapurnam. And "Can I give you a room to sleep?" "No, no," said the Vaishnava. "I will sleep in the cow barn. I'm a good cowherd man. I want to stay with my cows." So for half a year, this cowherd man was walking out. He had a grihastha dress, white dhoti, and all. He had long hair, and so on. And it was known. He was extremely shy. He would never mingle with people. So one day there was a storm. Monsoon came. The cows became totally wet. The cowherd man became wet, and the cowherd man then in the evening brought the cows back in the barn, and he dried them. Mahapurnam thought, I want to see something about this cowherd man begins to interest me. And he went through the back, he looked through the back window, and there he saw his cowherd man was dressed in saffron. And nearby, his dripping wet grihastha vesh was drying. And the cowherd man had his hand folded, and he was praying, "Oh Varadaraj, oh Varadaraj, oh Varadaraj, I'm missing you so much. I'm missing you so much. How can I live on like this, so far away from you?" Mahapurnam went through the other thing. He came through the door, and he said, "Who are you?" "Nobody, nobody, nobody," said the man who was dressed in sannyas dress and who was his cowherd boy. Mahapurnam brought a candle. He said, "Oh no, you are Kanchipurnam. I've done so much offense. Oh, I'm papi. I'm a papi, I'm a sinner. I've allowed the great Kanchipurnam to serve me and my cows. Now I'm ruined." So it was Kanchipurnam. Kanchipurnam said, "Service to the Vaishnavas, and you are a Vaishnava. That is all I wish. All my heart yearns for that." So Kanchipurnam said, "I have served you." "Yes," said Mahapurnam, "but I cannot accept this service. You're the great servant of Varadaraj." Kanchipurnam packed his things. He went back to Kanchipura, the town. And the next after he arrived, the next morning he went on the altar. Not on the altar, before the altar. And Varadaraj said, "Where were you? I was missing our conversations too much. Why do you do this?" Kanchipurnam said, "You only said we must serve Vaishnavas." "I just said this, and you're different. And before your stubbornness comes to greater heights, I just tell you, of course you will come back. I need you. You are my man. But I just wanted to explain the rule. We have to serve Vaishnavas. Now I'm very satisfied, but don't do this again. Don't run away. I need you. Many things to discuss. With whom will I discuss? It's so boring to stand here and hear all the time what the people tell me. And never, they can't hear me somehow directly. So my dear devotees, this is, I think, where you can start. Start with the roots. Serve Vaishnavas. The existing Vaishnavas and those who will come in the future. There are many people in London, in England, who are just yearning to find their why. Why do I exist? What is the purpose of my life? What is my spiritual life? And when you give this to the people, the Lord will give you your dharma. He is the Dharmaraja, the king of dharma. He knows what is everyone's place. And he will put you in your...
in your own faucet, in your own place, and then you will glow
very nicely. This time I will not turn the light away from you so that you remember. Start with this Vaishnava Seva and serve the people. There's psychological investigation has been made in America. Who are the happiest people? And it's those, the result was surprising. It was not the multi-billionaires, the what monsters, you know. It was not the sportsmen, the athletic boys and girls, or the beauty queens, or the football players, or rugby players. It was those who were in the serving profession. Nurses, simple people who were cleaning and so on. Service is very important. And if you can do that in your spiritual way by serving Vaishnavas, you will give pleasure to the Lord. He will become your... He is already your well-wisher. He will wish you more well. He is grateful for anything, supremely powerful and merciful, and he will for sure put you at the right place. He will put you in the right ashram. He will put you in the right family situation, and so on. It's a Dhammaraj. He is Dhammaraj. He will give you the place you need. If you want to hear more, I have also... this is a direct way of finding out one's Dharma. There are indirect ways, which I teach in my Dharma module, but today is a short time. I just wanted to tell you this. I want to thank you very much for your kind listening, and I hope you will turn the thoughts in your mind and you will inquire from the leaders of Pandava Senas, your buddies, your team captains and team organizers and Pandava Sena leaders and senior devotees. I hope you will inquire. Could you just lay out to me where could be my place in serving Vaishnavas in the Pandava Senas? Please give me some idea and then you will find something. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna.